Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What the Rock? We learned that rocks have a lot more meaning in this show than we originally thought. We visit Mosswood Grove and we take a trip through Julian's nightmares. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
The Cult. How perfect is this group? Good.
We have to use a different cult song every week.
I know, right? That's the, you know, it's like it's confirmation after last week. We, you know, everyone was using the C and ends with a LT word in the chat. So that could have went way left.
It could have.
Well, welcome, guys. You are at the after show of The Sinner, part two. Season two. Episode two. It was a really, really interesting one. We get a few ties, loose ends tied up at the show. We're going to talk about the mother, quote, I use air quotes, the mother. We'll talk about Julian's nightmares. We finally visit Mosswood Grove, which is the birthplace of Julian. Little sketch. And then, of course, we have our killer kid segment, which is kind of my fave. Before we get started, I'll introduce my lovely co-host here.
Hey, guys, I'm Alice Ford. And, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this episode. We learned so much more than we did in the first episode and so much more about all the other characters, too. I'm really interested to see what this Mosswood place, what's really causing the fear in everyone about it.
Yeah. What about you?
Hey, guys. I'm Zia Anderson here. And, I love this episode. I like that they kind of show you which direction the show's going in, because before that, you weren't really sure. And here, it's like, okay, we're going to take a very culty road. And I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Right. Yeah. I think everyone was like, I think that's what's most intriguing for some people, because it's kind of like, I mean, we were talking a little bit off air, like, the unknown it just, like, draws you in, because you're like, wow, I don't really know a whole lot about this, but... But yeah, but welcome our third person to our party.
Hey,
other than our amazing panelists outside of the live chat. So we appreciate you guys joining us as well. But let's get started. Let's talk about Vera. So we learn a little bit more about Julian's, quote, mother, which is a little strange to me, because he clearly called Adam and Beth his parents. So, I don't know. But we meet her. What do you guys think about Vera?
Well, she's definitely a very, like, strong and empowered woman. Mm-hmm. I honestly had questions about whether or not she was really his mother, but I guess I'm kind of sold now that she is by the end of the episode. I don't know. Do you think she's not really the mom?
I'm not sold. I don't know. Honestly, I mean, in this world, everybody's mom. So
yeah,
I don't know.
True. Oh, I was going to say literally exactly that. Honestly, she might not be his mom just because of the type of community that they live in. Or she got him from some other nefarious ways and kind of... Because he has a birth certificate, but how did he get that if he never went to a hospital, doesn't go to a school? They just gave this kid a birth certificate and then was like, all right, peace.
Well, right. And we never saw the birth certificate either, so...
Exactly.
Do we... Whose name is really on there?
Right.
You know, because obviously children get the last name of the father normally on a birth certificate. So it might not even say Walker as a last name.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I think there's like, I think there's this thing that's like in my gut that's just like, this is just not his mom.
Right.
But I mean, you know, I could save that for predictions. I don't know. But I love that. Her character is very powerful. I know you said empowered woman, but she's very manipulative and she's very intimidating, I think, to Detective Ambrose. And I think she's definitely going to be that one that challenges him.
Well, I think anyone that is like a cult leader is always that kind of personality. Yes. They're very manipulative. They're very all-powerful and...
very defiant.
Exactly. Yeah.
So especially normal life. And yeah, she definitely shows that. And she has that attitude of like, well, how can you say that we're evil if you don't know? Mm-hmm. Like she very much has that, like, you don't even know what's going on here. But then she also has some threatening tones in there when she's like, he's something that you don't even... he's... what was the line that she used? He's bigger than you'll know.
He's far beyond anything that you can understand.
That's what it was. That's that sounded so threatening.
My son is far beyond anything you can understand. You have no idea.
Well, have you guys watched the is it called The Cult?
Wild Wild Country?
Oh, no. No, different one. I'm thinking of, what's it called? It starts with a C, I think, but it's about a cult and it's in New York. It's set in New York, but it's very, like, the cult aspect is very similar. Like, it's a commune, but the people in charge, basically, like, one of them is kind of like the born leader, but he's not in charge. And so it's like, I'm wondering if Julian is kind of that, like, he's got the, like, whatever it is that they believe in inside him, and he's going to grow up to be like the...
mm-hmm. The Messiah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of called that in our predictions. I mean, I will get to our predictions in more detail later, but we talked about that last week. We said, is he going to be used as a tool of some sort? But how freaked out were you guys when she said things like, oh, I know what the monster is. I know who the monster is. Mm-hmm. And she reads minds.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, supposedly.
Supposedly. I don't know.
The show doesn't seem like it's going to take a supernatural turn, but I wouldn't be mad if it did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be completely upset about that. I'd be like, all right, that's kind of cool. But it definitely doesn't seem like it's going to go that route, because it seems very like fact and police detective work driven.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
But you just brought up a good point about Wild Wild Country. In that, did you watch that?
Mm-mm.
I would say, for those of you that haven't watched it, it's about a real thing that happened in the 70s?
The 80s, I believe.
80s, yeah. Okay. In Oregon, yes. Actually. And basically, it was this Indian guru that went...
the Rajneesh.
Yeah, around the world and around the country. And basically, they built a commune in Oregon. And it had, like, all these terrible, like happenings with it, because people were fighting. They didn't want it in the community anyways, but they built this huge mega place, and like thousands of people came, and they let in everyone. Wow. Like sex offenders, prisoners, homeless people. And they were like, come one, come all, as long as you follow the rules, you can stay. But very weird things happen there. And if you guys haven't watched it, you should check it out if you're into this kind of thing.
Crazy. And this show is called what again, one more time?
Wild Wild Country. And
wild,
it's a true
wild
story.
Country.
So it's like kind of like a documentary, because it's real footage of...
And it's crazy because it's one of those things that nobody heard about. Mm-hmm. And everybody that watches it says the same thing. They're like, I didn't even hear about this, but it was this huge... it was on national news. And I know it was a little bit before my time, but I don't remember ever learning about it or hearing about it either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Interesting. I mean, clearly Vera says that in the show.
Yes.
So it's a little freaked out. But speaking of shows, we have a lot more shows than just this one, but... we do have a favor to ask, because we are so awesome and we work so hard.
Yeah.
So Z has a little something for you on that one.
Hey, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. Literally all of them. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Woo-woo! Thank you, guys. You are literally, they're our extended panelists. Like, they're our extended co-hosts. So our chat was, like, crazy last week, and there's so many people in the comments. So thank you for that. We love to continue the conversation in our comments. So we'll continue the conversation today, though. So this Mosswood Grove, I don't know. It's kind of that home, like you said. It's funny that Vera is like from Oregon. So going kind of a little bit more into detail. So she hasn't really had anything on her record. And then she just pops up in Mosswood Grove. I mean, this is like a place of, like you said, cult driven. And we think Jillian was or was not born there. Anything else that you guys, like any other vibes that you got from Mosswood Grove?
I feel like it's very cult-like, because remember when the police detective, she has her flashbacks, and mm-hmm. she goes there with her friend, and it's obviously very, or well, her friend, possibly more than a friend, who was dating somebody else anyway.
Yeah, right.
It was complicated. But she goes there, and she was clearly, that touched her, and she was having a hard time with it, and she was, while she was there, clearly looking for her friend.
Her friend,
yeah,
absolutely.
That she had, I am assuming, lost to that place.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like they prey on the weak and the lost and the broken. And as soon as they find somebody that they see that in, they're just like, ah, step into my web.
Yeah.
Right, and if you don't obey by the rules, then obviously they just get rid of you.
Yeah.
That's what I picked up on. Because, I mean, they say they welcome people without question, but... I mean, if you're not so welcoming, if you, like, someone new is not so welcoming, these people were, like, dropping off like flies. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were talking about, I think the friend that they were referring to was maybe Marin. I think maybe, okay, we'll say predictions later. But clearly, I think that's kind of stuck with a lot of people. And a guy hanging himself a couple of days later, having a
the next day, they said, yeah.
Yeah, the next day that he, like, meets someone. Yeah, it's just really, really weird to me. But I get this vibe that Heather is, for whatever reason, I don't think she's told a lot of people, or anyone for that matter, that she's visited.
Well, I think that the chief of police must know something, because mm-hmm. he immediately, when Harry was like, no, we need to go and we should go tomorrow, he looked at Heather and was like, are you sure?
Yeah.
It's okay? Like, basically,
yeah.
Like, are you sure it's okay?
Yeah.
So they obviously, I think, maybe they went there together to look for her, or, like, maybe they obviously did that raid years ago that did not turn out very well.
And maybe
together.
That was why.
Yeah, I want to know, like we said off air, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
That it didn't turn out so well.
Yes. And obviously, what happened with the barn? So, like, is the barn where... what's her name?
Marin.
Marin is the mm-hmm. barn where Marin was seen walking into in that flashback of her and then disappearing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm sure that we'll definitely get more. We'll definitely get more visions to see, like, what happened after that. But it kind of did feel like that was the last time that Heather saw Marin was at that barn. I'm glad that they went, but clearly there's vibe. I mean, they said in an episode that even when you go to kind of scope out the scene, they're going to hide what doesn't really need to be found. And clearly, while they were visiting, Heather notices the guy with the ponytail. I was so disappointed in myself. And you know this, because we were on The Alienist together. I was so disappointed. I didn't even notice. I didn't notice the guy with the gray ponytail. And I was like...
Oh, from the other episode,
yes,
you mean?
Yes, from episode one. And Heather picked up on it and noticed that guy. I had no idea. I didn't even notice. Did you?
I didn't catch it either until, obviously, she put two and two together. But
yeah, and clearly they were whispering and... A lot of whispering in this episode.
Yes. Well, and so interesting with the necklace and then the, like, apparent, like, trying to cover up. And, like, obviously Vera was like, shh, don't you say anything else about that necklace.
Yeah.
You keep your mouth shut.
And she looked panicked as soon as he started asking her about it, too. You could just see the fear on her face. She's like, she gave it to me.
Yeah.
You're like, why?
Well, he brought up such a good point, though.
Yeah.
Like, why she give it? It's like a going away. Like,
well,
oh,
I think
gosh,
we all have some
this.
Theories on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. Oh, I can't wait for predictions.
We'll
we
for
all
like
keep one. Absolutely. But the whispering, obviously, a lot of secrets in Mosswood Grove. The whispering from Vera to Jillian. It's like it literally the pit of my stomach. It was so creepy. You know, in like nightmares and dreams, you kind of hear like really fast talking or mumble talk. Like the words are so That's what it reminded me of. And then she looked, like, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh my God, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye. And then she looked up at detective. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm officially creeped out. But yeah, that stuck with me. There's so much, I mean, down to, like, nightmares and the way whispers and voices. Julian's nightmare, we get a little bit more information about him and the, like, vividness of, like, whether or not he's afraid or if he's being taught this.
Well, his character from, like, the first episode to now has really, like, overcome his fear, obviously, or his, like, you know,
his PTSD
from, you know, killing the, from Bess and Adam. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's very mature. He talks very intelligently. Mm-hmm. Especially
on a little
when
he's creepy side.
Not around Vera.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that, like, stare down he did with Harry.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, it's like he was, like, inspecting him, like, slowly, like, peeling away, like, his layers.
Right.
Of, like, personality.
And he was like, so are you going to ask me about my mom? Because, I mean, that's clearly why you're here. It's like, oh, well, get to the point.
Seriously.
Control the conversation. Yeah, that was a little creepy. I think, you were going to say something. I want to make sure they...
Oh, I was just going to say, it really feels like they're grooming him. Because the way he was acting at first, maybe it was an act. And I can't tell if it was an act or if he's just going back and forth between being completely terrified by what he's done to switching into his sort of... oh gosh, what's the brainwashed self that they've groomed him to be this person, and he's vacillating between freaking out and becoming who they're grooming him to be.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out if it's that or if that was a complete act at the beginning. I honestly don't know.
The act at the beginning, I think that was pretty,
it felt genuine,
real, but I mean, you know how you, like, have prepped or trained for a moment, and then the moment that it really needs to happen, your adrenaline kicks in, or your self-doubt, or, I mean, it could be just something as small as that,
yeah.
And then this kid is like, all right, I'm back in my comfort zone, I got my tribe behind me, I got my village, I got my people, and I'm comfortable now.
Well, yeah, because why would he have admitted...
Right.
In the first place, if it wasn't, like, in, you know.
He freaked out, maybe.
Yeah. I think it was genuine in episode one.
Yeah.
His talk with Harry.
Because you did see, as soon as Vera came in and as soon as he saw her, he immediately...
Broke down?
Yeah, broke down. And then after that, that's when you see the switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Do you think he struggles? I mean, clearly he still has nightmares, so... Mm-hmm. I think that kind of goes into his struggle, like you said, between... the reality, the act, going back and being terrified. I think that definitely has something to do with it. The fact that he's so, something clearly still bothers him. I mean, in the dream, he has a dream about the figure in the hood, you know, grabbing at his gut or abdomen or whatever. And, okay, so I used to have really weird nightmares. My mom... Okay, well, I'll say it. My mom, like, I had such bad night... There weren't even nightmares. There were night terrors when I was little. And so my mom, for a second, as weird as it sounds, you guys don't judge me, she thought I was, like, semi-possessed a little bit.
Oh.
And that's a little creepy, even for me to say that.
I still have those sometimes.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm not by myself.
My boyfriend at one point was like, can you please go sleep in the other room? And I was like, but seriously, I just woke up and, like, thought I was dying. And now you're asking me to sleep in the other room?
No.
It's like,
he was like, I think you're possessed by the devil. And my grandmother, I think, would kill me for being in the same room with you.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, see, mine haven't happened since I was, like, six. But you're like.
Wow. No.
Note to self, no slumber parties with Alice. You know, we'll just keep it to the hosting thing during the day. I used to, like, look things up, and I used to be so curious about nightmares, because I have a note section in my phone that when I wake up from nightmares, I took note. And so I did research on abdomen. So you know how a lot of people have dreams about getting shot or the fall, you know, a lot
your
of people
teeth
have
falling out,
teeth falling out, fingernails popping off. So the abdomen is kind of related to, like, a deeply, like, criticizing yourself or feeling really bad about something or wrong or, like, a slander or something. It's often, like, the the pain of a broken relationship too. And so that kind of kicked into me, like, his parents, does he struggle as a kid knowing who's the mom, who's the dad, or what happened, what is the broken relationship? So the abdomen, when you have dreams about things with your stomach, that's a lot of the times what it is, or that you're having a gut feeling of something wrong to anticipate to be happened. So,
wow.
Yeah, the fact that the figure was grabbing at his abdomen, I was like, okay, so he's been wrongfully, like, wrong relationship. He's anticipating something. That was terrifying to me.
Totally. Yeah, especially because you've experienced it. Oh, right. My gosh. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't remember.
And I just
my mom was just like, you're crazy. I'm like, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks, Mom.
You guys just reminded me that he's the only kid at the commune as well.
Which is so crazy.
So weird.
Because they focus on the work.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, because, you know, they were joking about, in the beginning of the episode or during her flashback, that it was a sex cult, possibly, that they, you know, have a lot of sex there.
Oh, okay.
Heather. And I'm wondering if that's true now, because what is the work that they're doing?
Right, but then it seems like there's no sex because everyone has shared beds. But then also, like, obviously when they go to the hotel, Adam and Bess, in the first episode, they're, like, want to be all over each other as soon as Julianne's out of the room. So
and we mentioned that last time, that was kind of like, well, you did, she was like, why are you, like, horny? And then the guy, the poor boy, is just, and that kind of makes Heather's comment makes sense that they were trying to escape. So maybe they were the outliers
Or had broken the rules,
right?
Maybe by having sex.
Interesting.
Possibly, yeah. Or maybe because he had showed up, Adam had shown up only a few months prior, and Bess had been there for years and years. So it's possible that she fell in love with him. Yeah,
and he corrupted her.
He corrupted her mind. No. Like, darn it, you just fall in love with these guys and they just bring it down. I mean, Marin for crying out loud.
Seriously.
As soon as I saw the guy with the beard that snuck
up
on
him.
Oh, and
she was like,
I tapped out. I was like, yeah, she's going to fall for
it. And also, how rude to be sleeping with your friend and then also seeing other guys.
Right?
With
Heather and Marin. Like, they're kissing and she also had a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's also with some other dude. What a terrible thing to do to your friend who clearly likes you and you're just right in front of her.
Yeah.
And she's clearly upset.
That's a little call out. I didn't really think about that, but shout out to Johnny Utah. Welcome to the live chat. Thank you. I love his comment. He said, Shadow Julian killed all the kids.
Oh. Well, that reminds me, we should probably talk a little bit more about the shadow.
Yes.
So I did some research earlier on analytical psychology, which I guess in the last episode, you see actually in some of the scenes, there's like books on analytical psychology in the room with Julian and Vera. And then also you see that Adam has one of those books as well. So it's something that they definitely study, I think, in the cult.
Yes.
And the thing with analytical psychology is that it actually believes in a shadow creature as part of your own personality. So, and I actually have a side video on this if anyone wants to check it out.
I do now, yes.
Right. You'll follow Alice. Get all the scoop.
But there's like 10 different aspects of the shadow personality, but it's basically like other parts of your consciousness that incorporate into your personality that are usually like cloaked kind of in darkness.
So it's like the dark part of you that you don't let out because you're like, this is wrong.
Exactly.
I shouldn't feel this way.
Well, I mean,
so fascinated.
To Vera, they are shining light on the shadow part.
Yes. Exactly.
So, I mean, the fact that she said that at the end, when you hear shadow and light, you think, oh, it's your shadow and it's the bad part of you. We're shining light on it, so it's good. I don't think this is the light that she's talking about.
But maybe that's what the work is that it's about like letting your shadow in so that you can defeat it. I don't know.
We'll
see.
Talking
about
I don't
everybody
know.
Making progress.
Right. Yeah. What do you guys think? Clearly, Johnny Utah is just like, you know, Shadow Julian killed all the kids. They're down. I love Johnny Utah. Your comment too about the device that emits the blue light and thudding sound. Who else picked up on the thudding going on
in the last episode?
While Vera was, in this one, while Vera was in court.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes. I do remember that.
Right.
And I was like, what's that about?
Yes. So the thudding was happening while the judge was pretty much telling her, yeah, this can't happen because you don't have the right paperwork. And it's like, oh, thudding starts. I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, we're about to see. I'll do some more research on that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. She's our research queen. Alice is our research queen. But yeah, so you research that. And
I will.
You know what? Just to kind of touch on, because there's a lot of, like, symbolism and ritual-type objects in this show. And I did have a chance to look up the rocks. So I know that was kind of a big thing in last episode with rocks on the ice. Mm-hmm. And clearly the big rock at the end of the episode is supposed to be maybe this shadow thing. We'll talk about in the predictions. I don't know if you're listening to us live. What do you think? What's your prediction? Because that's the big question at the end of this after show. But so rituals with rocks. So rocks are supposed to kind of symbolize in rituals anyway to bring luck or cure illnesses. And so that was really big. And it started making me think to cure an illness was Julian putting those rocks on their eyes to pretty much like, was that a cleansing ritual? Like, these are the fallen people that have escaped from Mosswood Grove, mm-hmm. and you know, they're having sex, doing all these crazy things. So I don't know. What do you
think? In like Greek mythology, they did coins on the eyes, which is a little bit different, but mm-hmm. the coins were to like help people transition through the afterlife to make sure they could afford to take the boat, basically.
Yes. Through
their
pay
that.
Hades or
yes.
yeah.
I've heard that. That's a good point. Completely forgot
so,
about that.
And that, yeah. like, I guess went all the way through, like, semi-modern Europe with, like, yeah. people putting coins on the eyes of the dead.
And I feel like I've seen that in also other Game serial killer movies, Game of Thrones. Yeah, so that's yeah. like a...
How could I forget Game of Thrones?
But it's rocks on the eyes in Game of Thrones, but they yeah. paint the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they yeah. paint eyes onto the rocks and then put it on there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
All the symbolism,
I
mean,
well, yeah, and then obviously last episode, too, Julian says, like, they had to go back to the beginning. So, like, does it have something to do with some sort of, like, helping them get back or making, I don't know, like, I thought maybe, like, it makes their souls not escape their body or maybe vice versa.
Like a paperweight?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
I'm like, hey, I'm all for things meaning something because I think everything means something in shows like this. So I'm completely down. But yeah, that's pretty much like kind of where we are in our discussions. There's not so much that we've gotten a few loose ties. We've gotten to learn Vera a little bit, but I do just want to quickly, mention, the shine, like the end of the episode, the shine, the scene with Heather at the barn. What came to my mind was the light, the reflector. Did you guys mention or notice the reflector?
I can't talk today. All the lights that were in there.
Yeah, focusing on the rock.
Yeah.
Did that rock look like anything to you guys? Is it just me?
It looked, well, I don't know. I don't know what you were going to say, but it just looked, I mean, it wasn't like a normal rock. I mean, it was like shiny and slippery. It looked like it came from like the, I don't know,
like
perspiring.
Okay, maybe I'm just a little weird, and I'll go back and I'll rewatch it. I can't even talk. This is how like messed up this episode has me today. It weirdly looked like a man, like a bent over. It was like, okay, yeah, I'm weird.
I'll have to
They're
look
looking at me crazy.
I know. Yeah. I'm gonna have to look at this again. Yeah,
looking at me crazy. Well, I don't know if you thought the rock looked like a man or looked like anything else. Drop a comment. We're on iTunes though, so I'll take this second to remind you. I know a lot of you are tuning in to us to view us and join us on YouTube. We're on iTunes, so if you're riding in the car, just you know, listening to some The Center catch up things and reviews, feel free to give us 5 stars. Give us a review. Let us know what you want to talk about, and we will do so in the next after show. So we appreciate you joining
us.
That brings us to my favorite segment of our show. It is called Killer Kids.
Dun, dun, dun.
I watched you ladies do this last week, and I'm so into it.
I love it. Cue the
yes. So
the creepy laugh.
Killer Kids this week.
I know.
Is Sarah Johnson. We're going to show a photo of her on the screen.
Oh, my.
Tell us about her.
She was 16 years old when she decided to shoot and kill both parents. I'm going to do this creepy voice for the entire segment.
Oh my gosh.
Her reasoning behind the murders.
Oh my god, I can't concentrate. I can't.
Okay, she killed her parents because they wouldn't accept her boyfriend, who was a 19-year-old and also an illegal immigrant. He had a reputation for using and selling drugs, and Sarah was so mad that her parents would not accept him that she killed them. And
wow.
Then she went to jail by the orange jumpsuit you see there. So
is she still around? Like, what do we know where? Still in jail, maybe?
Let me double check.
16, I feel like, is old enough that they could try her as an adult.
Yeah.
If it was, you know, a horrendous enough murder.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
That's a little creepy, yeah.
Just for a guy.
Parents aren't safer on these parts nowadays. It's kind of terrifying to be a parent nowadays. All right, well.
Oh, yeah, and then she tried to say that it was actually someone that broke into the house and killed her parents, and it wasn't her. But they soon discovered that... that it was him.
All right.
That was her,
well,
yeah, and her boyfriend.
Killer kid segment. Thank you, Alice. So every week we're going to give you a killer kid just because, I don't know, you know, we don't know who Jillian is yet. So, you know, clearly he, maybe, I don't know. They try to make it seem like maybe the guy with the ponytail, maybe Jillian didn't do it at all. I don't know. So anyway, killer kid segment. That is our killer
And I want to give a fan shout out before we get into predictions, because I think it might spur some extra thoughts here. So one of the fan shout outs from last week that gave a great comment was Coughed2009. And she said, I'm going to throw out a crazy prediction. I think that the mother actually sent him to kill the people. And I only saw this because of that moment when she tells him to let the shadow in, and it was some type of test.
Ooh.
So thank you for that great comment, because
okay,
a really good prediction.
Starting some thoughts here, Johnny Utah. We're getting to our predictions next, so drop some predictions in the live chat, guys. Alex Claudio is another one joining us, so thank you guys. Drop your predictions. Before we get to predictions, we have news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV news.
All right. So apparently a lot of people on Twitter and on the internet are saying how much they love Carrie Coon. She plays his mother. And I'm forgetting her name for some reason right now. Vera. Okay.
Vera Walker.
I was like, why did that leave me right in this moment? Plays Vera, and a lot of people watch the show for her. And the Carrie Coon actually says that she loves how ambiguous the center is. And so she says to just embrace it. So just let it take you where it goes. I know, it's so hard, because you're like, what's happening?
That's kind of like the shadow. Like, yes. What do you do when the shadow knocks? You just let it in.
Just let it in, yeah.
Jeez, all right now. Well, I agree. I think, I mean, Twitter is blowing up like crazy. All reviews, all we call reaction video. I mean, they're all crazy over Carrie Coon, and I completely agree.
Well, and this child actor is amazing, too.
Yes.
He was also in Alex Inc., I believe is what it was called.
Alicia?
Yeah.
Or Elisha? My
gosh.
Elisha.
He was in that show, and I liked him in that. So when I saw that he was cast in this, I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited to see him play a different role, and he's doing such an amazing job.
Yeah, he really is.
He's so like good. Ridiculous. The two pairs, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for the news and gossip. We are going to end, I feel like, the most exciting part, because half of the freaking yes. after show we're like leading into predictions. So let's just kick it off.
And now your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
I love the prediction music.
It's the best.
I'll let you kick it off, one of you ladies, if you have anything.
So what I have is hard, because so season one, I'm not going to like spoil anything, but season one, it was so hard for me to formulate predictions because every single one I had was wrong.
Right.
Because they just took you down this. So yeah. I'm saying this very like, this is what I'm thinking now, but I have a feeling they're going to twist it in the next like two episodes, and I'm like, okay, well, that prediction's dead. But right now I have that they fell in love, and, you know, Adam and I'm so bad with names right now. What is happening?
That's because I only
Adam
know because I wrote them down.
Adam and Beth.
Fell in love and escaped and decided to try to rescue
Julian.
And so they took him, and, you know, we're going to take him, obviously not to Niagara Falls.
Right.
But the rest of the commune, or Vera, found out about it, and decided to have them killed. Mm-hmm. Or Julian was so brainwashed that when he realized what was happening, he killed them of his own accord because he knew that they were straying from the path and he wasn't going to go with them.
Wow.
That's all I have right now. So much.
Johnny Utah in the chat said that he believes Will find out that Bess is Jillian's real mom. And that they were close. They both knew the lyrics to the lullaby that they were singing last episode.
Yeah.
So it kind of, it kind of kicked off. I think...
Do you want me to go first?
Sure, why not? Because I don't want to spoil mine. I don't want to take any of...
Well, I think you, and then also our fan from last week, brought up some really good points. I mean, I think there's definitely something fishy happening with... Like, the whole commune obviously knows why Adam and Bess were killed. And I think it has to do something with them not following the rules. I'm not really sure how Julian fits into it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe he was brainwashed. Or I think that the guy that we saw that was at the hotel and also at the commune may have helped Julian potentially poison them.
Kill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or somehow, like, manipulate him, you know, that morning and say they're going to do something bad to you. So.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Because why was he there?
Exactly.
That's so true.
It's so true. And then, like, the whole thing with the car breaking down in the last episode also, like, they ended up at some random farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, how did the car even get there? And B, like, that's not a mechanic shop.
Yeah.
So, like, that was really weird also.
Did it make you think, how did they have a car, too? Because if you noticed, there weren't many cars.
Right.
And so, I mean, the cars that were there, they were clearly, like, old. Maybe they share them. Maybe they only have a few, and then everyone kind of just goes, uses what they absolutely need.
Well, and so, and then the other thing, they only made it 20 miles then.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, you know, when the episode started, it's like they've been going for hours and hours, and then it was really only 20 minutes away.
And if she was looking at her GPS, and she was like, oh, it's like two, we'll just say 2 hours. She was like, oh, she gave a certain amount of time, and it was around 2 hours. So, you know.
But it's almost like they had to be escaping, because why wouldn't they have called the commune?
Yeah, that's true.
And said, come and help us.
That's true. Well, my predictions... I didn't like the energy that Brick and Vera had.
Yeah.
I think that Brick, I don't know if he maybe had a crush on Heather and he found out that she didn't like that, found out that she liked women, that she didn't like his type, but there was this weird, awkward moment between Brick and Vera.
Well,
so,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was,
I think
almost
she's gonna
like
recruit
she'd
him.
Seen him before.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or. I think maybe he is part of the, quote, work. Ooh. Maybe he's been, like, sacrificed into the police, you know, the police role. But I think he's definitely going to be used as a tool, just like Julian is. So we don't know if these people are, like, planted in different areas.
That's true.
Right?
He could be, like, planted by the commune in the town to, like, make sure they don't give them any flack.
Yep.
And he does look especially uncomfortable when he's walking through there.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, and I mean, he just does not, like siding with Heather.
Right.
It's like he's not there to support her one bit. So there's definitely some tension there. And I definitely think that Maren will definitely find out more information on her. And I think that we are going to see her. I think Heather is going to be reunited in some way with Maren. And I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Nope. I'm with you on that.
She's alive then.
I think she's alive. I definitely think she's alive. We haven't really seen, obviously, evidence that she's there, but clearly she was looking for her. And she was looking around at anything that would give clues that she would still be there. So I think they'll come to pass. I think that they'll meet back up. It won't be pretty. She will find that maybe Maren has helped them, but I think maybe she'll come back, maybe seeing Heather, but. I don't know. That's pretty much all I had. I'm going to definitely have more. I think episode 3 is when you're like, ah, yes. So I can't wait for it. But yeah, let us know your predictions. If you are watching on YouTube after, drop a comment. Let us know some things that you want to talk about, any comments or insights that you picked up on, and let us know what you think might happen in episode 3. Well, interesting. But to continue the conversation, where can they find you, Azia?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, I suppose, if you want. There's nothing there. XIA _LAND. And also on Wednesday nights for the... I'm just having a hard time with everything
tonight.
Today.
It's doing it to everybody today. I'm right there with... It's the shadow.
It's the shadow.
Darn shadow.
Dang it. The Castle Rock After Show at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Oh, nice.
I've been wanting to watch that.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm going to have to start that. Yes.
Shameless plug. Yes, watch Castle Rock.
Well, you guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford or Instagram Alice Adventures on Earth. And I'm going to be doing another theory video on this show on Sunday on my YouTube channel if you guys want to check it out.
Awesome. Nice. I'm tuning in. And you can find me, Takira Shabre, on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre. And I'm here like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursday, Monday through Friday, I feel like. But I do the Love Is show, and I do Queen Sugar. Last week is next week. So thank you guys so much for joining in. And we look forward to reading your comments, continuing the conversation, and seeing you next week. Bye. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.